The following audio was recorded at the Pacific School Leadership Institute, which was held at Waits Lake Bible Camp near Valley, Washington, on October 19 and 20, 2023.
Good morning and welcome back. It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to be here among you, those who, with people who have the interest that is demonstrated here in schools. I wish the Lord's blessing on you and the very best for you. This morning's subject is the discipline of hard communication. So we're already presupposing that we have a less than ideal situation. There is tension in the air when we talk about hard communication. This is not a new problem. This is not a new issue. This is the human condition. You remember Cain and Abel. They couldn't even, it didn't even work there long enough that, then another example would be Joseph's and his brothers. At one point it says that Joseph's brothers couldn't even speak peaceably to him anymore. You know, you can, when you think about that, you can feel the tension and the resentment building up. Paul and Barnabas in the New Testament had an altercation over John Mark because Paul felt, he said it didn't go with us to the work. And I'd like to just say that sometimes we might feel that about each other, and we might actually call it loyalty rather than say he doesn't go to the work. We say he's not loyal enough to something, and we tend to stereotype, and you have that problem. And I would just call your attention to Moses. The Bible says that he was the meekest man, and that word there, meek, means disinterested in himself. I like that. Disinterested in himself. He was interested in the vision and the mission of God's people. It was not about him. It was about the others. And the Lord still needs Moses, people of character like that in his kingdom today. Mordecai was another one. It tells us that I think the last verse there says that he was seeking the good of his people. And that, I think, is quite a commentary. Now, the way I'm using the words this morning is the discipline. Now, so often we tend to talk about discipline that we disciplined, little Harry or Mary or whatever. That's not how I'm using it this morning. While that is a meaning, but it's not the context that I'm using it this morning. I'm using it as a field of study. For instance, medicine is a discipline. It's focused on a defined field of study. And there's very many others. Engineering would be another one. There's many things that are a field of study, and it's a defined field of study. The dictionary says it's a rule or system of rules governing conduct or activity. There's a pattern, there's a method to it. It's not just willy-nilly, as we say sometimes. It's an orderly or prescribed conduct or pattern of behavior. So apparently there is a way to approach differences of opinion. And we think of difficult, I'm using the word hard communication, difficult communication, because there are times that there are things that are difficult to bring up, and then when they are brought up, that difficulty might actually grow. The word communication simply is information that is transmitted or transferred from one person to the other, either verbal or nonverbal. Now, it depends who you listen to. They will say that the nonverbal cues are actually, you will actually have more communication that way than the words. I'll let that up to you to decide, but do remember that nonverbal communication goes on all the time. What do you do when your child goes out the door after you've remonstrated with him and he slams the door? He hasn't said anything. He's communicating his displeasure with you. And so there are ways to do that. And so as we think about the communication, so now we're thinking about that here we have a situation related to the school, related to kingdom work, and it's like Paul and Barnabas, there is differences of opinion. And so this subject, or this responsibility of addressing varied and opposing opinions goes with the administration, and it just goes with the administrative territory. There's really no nice way to get away from this, because as long as we're people, there's going to be differences of opinion. There's going to be, because there's differences of background, there is differences of personality, there's differences of things we've learned, life experiences. We are all a product of our genetic makeup, our environment, our life experiences, and what we did with it. There's many people that you would even know or read about that have had less than ideal backgrounds and have come out and are a real pillar for the Lord. Then there's others who have had a very good chance background teaching, and they seem to throw it away. So remember, I'm using those two extremes just to demonstrate that you are working with people that have varied ideas about things. And so that's then as we work at it, I like to think about that, for instance, to me, working with electricity is a discipline. You know, it's a very defined way of doing things. Now, I don't know much about electricity. I know two things, neither of which I like very good. Number one, it costs me money, and number two, it shocks me. And but there's a defined way to harness it. If it is not harnessed properly, it can cause fires, or the sparks fly. Although if it's harnessed properly, machinery can run very smoothly. And that's a little bit how it works for us. You know, if the connection's bad, you know, you're going to have some, with electricity, you're going to have some heat and eventually some fire. And so you want a solid connection. We tend to think that communication, as we talk about things, we say, well, we just need to communicate more. And I think we probably all said that, meaning that we need more interaction. But I want you to remember this, that communication doesn't necessarily mean agreement. I used to think that if we all communicate and we all really understand what we mean, then there's agreement. Well, I found out with enough of experience and scars and birthdays that you can be extremely clear and still not agree. Now, when we're talking about the school, the kingdom work, that can happen too because we're people. But one of the things that is really, really important is that we all have a vision for the school. And we do, even though we disagree. But there's I think it's a Japanese or Chinese proverb that says, when the elephants fight, the grass suffers. I cannot overemphasize the necessity of the administrators coming to a common agreement and pulling together. Because in this case, if we don't, The children suffer. And we only have one chance. They will only be at school one time, and they will only be that age one time. You know, in the worldly sense, they say, well, you're only young once, enjoy it. Well, I know we're only young once, but that is where our framework begins to build, and that's how we live. And we want to have our schools such that it builds the right kind of character. And to do this, it is each one's responsibility to do what they can at the place they are. You know, it's so easy to think that, you know, if Brother Joe would just stop being so stubborn, or if the other one would, you know, what makes him say this or that, then we could move ahead. Well, my observation is I cannot make Brother Joe think one way or another. The only person I can change is myself. So what can I do to have communication where we're having dialogue, where we're talking, where we're discussing things, and we can come to a common agreement? What can we do? One of the things that is a bedrock principle in communication, in people working together, whether it's a marriage, whether it's in church, whether it's in a business, whether it's in school and church, and in this morning we're talking about school, a bedrock principle is trust. If we don't have trust, it's over. There's nothing you can do without trust. And what I'm thinking about trust is that, does that mean that everybody's perfect? No. But we believe in the goodness of their intentions. We believe in them. But when we begin, you know, I think we probably all said, you know, about various incidents that I, not necessarily in the church, but hopefully not, but we say, well, I just don't quite trust that person to do business with. Okay, already there we see we have a glitch, because we do not trust that that person is going to be up and up. And it works that way in all human relationships. You can weather lots of things if you trust. If we believe in the good of the intention of the other, works that way in a marriage. If one spouses begin to distrust the intention of the other, then suspicion builds until there is some, like in Joseph's case, it builds until it is very difficult to communicate, and it actually gets to the place of what I call contempt. The way I describe contempt is an active disdain. And we just cannot afford to let that happen on the school. And so we cannot look at the other person and say, well, he's the one that's doing it. But we do need trust. To me, it's the analogy I like to use is trust is like money in the bank. It's collateral. Sometimes, and that's with our relationships. You know, sometimes we need to deal with things that are not very pretty. And to me, that's like writing a check, all right? You've got to have trust in the bank. There needs to be a certain amount of trust for you to do that. And if there's no trust, you're in red ink. If there's no money in the bank, you're in it'll bounce. And it does that with human relationships. And so even while things are going, I mean, we'll always work at building trust, believing in each other, seeking to understand each other, helping and understanding the other. Those are all things that are extremely important if we're going to be able to work our way through positively in these situations. Now, I don't have a fancy outline for this, and I've decided that what I would do in this case is I have a list of do's and don'ts. And I don't necessarily have them all in necessarily of importance of, I think they're all important, okay? I don't think that one is more than the other, but just as we're looking at them, they're not in that order. First of all, in 1 James, this one I think though is in order. 1 James chapter 1, verse 20, or verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So there's two things here. We're going to be listening. You have two ears and one mouth. That gives you a little bit of an idea of the percentage and proportion. And the other thing is that we're people, and so our emotions get involved. And so we must concentrate. You know, this doesn't come automatically. It's a learned art. We have to learn to listen. We have to learn to hear, slow to wrath. We have to learn to be unemotional. I mean, not meaning flatline, but I mean we need to be objective as we're discussing things. One of the things I've learned by being taught and by watching it is that you want that it's important to de-escalate the tension. Now again, we're presupposing we're up against something here on a school board level and a ministerial level, and there's opposing ideas, and it's brought about because the answer is not easy. And so people feel, well, strong, it ought to be this way, that way. Personally, what you should do, one of the things to do is work hard at de-escalating the tension. You can always squirt gas on the fire and make it burn, but once you have a hot fire going, it's really difficult to cool it down. And so be very careful not to make inflammatory statements and be responsible in what we say to each other, because in Proverbs 18:19 it says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. You know how that looks and feels. You know, at some point there's a barrier, and it just seems like we cannot overcome that. We want to be careful not to let it get to that. Now we have the personal responsibility not to let that happen to ourselves. That, you know, what happens sometimes, and we do it out of self-preservation, we kind of build a wall. You know, I'll let you just so close, but that's it. I will tell you only so much, but that's it. There's a wall there for self-preservation. But what happens then, those are like bars. We're not going to be able to communicate. We cannot connect. Our spirits can't connect. Jonathan and David in the Bible were a good example of their connection very exemplary. They connected, their spirits connected, so much so that you remember that at one point, Jonathan, of course, was in line for the kingdom, but he said to David that you're going to be the next king and I'll be next to you. That was humility like Moses. He was very accepting, but they were connecting. So de-escalate the tension where you can. Now, how do we do that? Well, one of the ways is being humble. And humility looks, I guess, has many faces, but keep thinking about this. Moses was disinterested in himself. And so it's not about us. It's not about our own ego. This is about the good of the school. This is about the good of the children. And I think humility doesn't mean that you go around with your head down saying, I just can't do it, I'm not capable, blah, blah, blah. What it means is that this is not a time for ego. This is a time to be focused for the good of the children. So let's be humble and keep that foremost in your mind. This is all about school. This is all about the rising generation. Now, I mentioned listening. You know, there's three rules in real estate, I'm told, and that is location, location, location. And I think that when it comes to understanding each other, it's listen, listen, listen. How many times have have you, just by example, how many times men that are here that are married, has your wife said to you, but you're not listening to me? And you say, yes, I am. And you quote the last sentence she said. But she knows your head is somewhere else. Okay? That's, you know, she got, and so when I'm talking about listening, I am not just saying that I can repeat the last paragraph the person said. It's actually understanding, putting energy into understanding what they're actually saying. In communication, it is more important than what we to seek to be understanding of the other one than it is that the other one understands me. That will take care of itself. You know that. If you, brethren, again, if you spend the time to understand your wife, that is more going to go further than making sure she understands you with lots of verbiage. Same thing works that way. Seek to be understanding of the other. And how do we do that? When we are seeking to understand the other person, because remember, we've got an issue on the floor that has to be handled. It's not an easy one, and yet it's affecting lives. Well, one of the first things that I think is important is don't assume that we know what the other person or the other people are thinking. It's so easy to do that. I know what you're thinking. I had a friend tell me once that his two children got to, he said the daughter, the little girl, got to squealing around, and he said, well, what's wrong? And the girl said, well, my brother hit me. And he said, well, why did you hit her? He said, I didn't hit her. Well, the girl said, he was thinking about it. And there he was assuming, you know, and adults can't quite outgrow that. This is a conscious effort to develop the art to not assume that we know what the other person is thinking or why. Don't ascribe motives where we don't really understand. How do we find out? You do that by asking questions. For instance, when let's say that you're discussing a chaotic classroom and the person talks about order and yet you're not quite agreeing, you can ask questions. Well, what does order look like to you? Instead of telling him, well, order looks like to you, it still looks like chaos. You're thinking that. But you ask questions. What does this or that look like to you? What does that word mean when you say that? And remember, it's in context. For instance, if I talk about that it was a nice campfire that we sat around last night, that's a context. But if I start yelling fire right here, that's a different context. And it will affect people differently. So let's be careful that the words we use and the way we understand other words, do not assume that we understand each other. In fact, it's amazing we understand each other at all because of the varied backgrounds, color, the way we use words. So don't assume. Don't interrupt. I shouldn't have to say that to adults because you all know that and you're teaching others. But, you know, unless you're different than me, you've got to work at it. Don't interrupt the other person. Always be polite. We must always be polite toward the other people. Do not play one-upmanship. This is not the time to win arguments. If you have the drive to play one-upmanship, play chess or checkers. We are trying to run a school. This is no time to play games and just one-up each other. And win, you know, you can win the battle and lose the war. And that's not going to work. And so we're going to have to be seeking to understand the other person. Another thing that you want to be doing, oftentimes in working with people, the presenting issue is not the core issue. People will come and they, you know, or the teacher or parents or whatever, and they'll talk about what was going on, and they're disturbed about it. And it does not mean it's really the core issue. And when you're discussing things or the other person's opinion that's differing, don't assume that you're at the core issue. The only way to find out, to unpack that, is that we together as brethren keep asking questions to define what we mean and how it looks to us. And someone has to do the work of being able to summarize that. And that means you. Don't figure on somebody else. We have to unpack this whole thing to where we get to what I call the core issue. What do we really have in our hands, or what is really our disagreement here? Never attack. Stay on the subject. It's easy to let one thing lead to another until the point that we're really not even talking about the original problem. Stay focused. And you don't have to shout out, hey, we're not focused anymore. You can ask a question that brings it back on track. Stay focused on the issue. Don't stereotype. It's so easy for people to say, well, they're anti-education, or they're just independent, or they're liberal, or they're so conservative you can't work with them. We're stereotyping. Don't do that to each other. That doesn't help any of us. And end of the discussion, recognize that the other person, when they have a valid point, and they will, when they have a valid point, recognize that. Verbally recognize. So you're saying this and this. Yes? Okay, I understand. I get it. All right? Then you make a point that you're going to recognize what there when there is a valid point. Don't repeat don't react negatively when someone says something. This is something that can easily happen. I talked about nonverbal communication. Be careful when people say things that you might not agree with, that you don't react non-verbally, because they're going to pick that up, and now we're beginning to build walls. Don't do that. Do not let the discussion become personal. I remember when you did this, or I remember when you did that, or insinuate that. Don't do that. Don't insult. Don't say things that the underlying message is insulting. You know, we can get pretty good at that. Why? You know, there's people that they can raise questions and say things, and you will never catch them at actually saying the insulting thing or the divisive thing that they really meant. But it's planted the seed. And now we've got a problem. So let's be careful not to do that. Again, if you have the drive to win a game, play chess. Don't do that at a school board meeting. I mentioned this earlier, validate points of agreement that acknowledge the points where we agree. See, it's easy to sort out what we don't agree on, and we forget about what we do agree on. So you need to be doing both at the same time. It's really what you're doing to unpack this, and because in the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom, and we have to believe that wisdom doesn't only reside with us, but in the collective group. And so we have to unpack this. Okay, so over here, this is what seems to be the stick point, but over here we agree. And usually where you agree is far bigger. You know, it's this 5% that's holding things up. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. But and I think it's fair and it's clear to sort it out and say, okay, so this is the stick point. What you're saying is this, and what I'm saying with this, and this is where we are disagreeing. This is probably the foundational thing where we are disagreeing. You want to unpack it to that, because then you can start talking about the real issue. But don't assume that right from the beginning you will be talking about the real issue. That's not how communication normally works. The presenting issue is not always the core issue. And so we need to unpack it. Now when you do that, and if you can do that in a friendly manner, and you come up with, yes, this is the stick point, you're still good friends and you're believing in each other. But you're only going to be able to do that as you display trust And as you do not display any verbal or nonverbal disdain for the other person, that they know that you believe in the goodness of their heart. They feel that, and you feel that. We need to be kind yet clear. I that goes without saying, but sometimes in our effort, you know, somebody might even mention to one of us, or might mention to me, that really wasn't very kind. And I might react by saying, but it was the truth, as if that gives me license to be impolite or somehow not as brotherly as I ought to be. Yeah, we need to speak the truth in love. And that is also meaning that the way we talk to each other. Now also remember that we are biased toward our own thinking. I remember this one brother, and in a discussion, someone said to him, you know, it seems like you think whatever comes into your head is right because you think it, just because it came in your head. And the brother thought a little bit and he said, you know, you're right. If it wouldn't be right, I wouldn't think it. He verbalized something that I think we can all identify with. So acknowledge that we are not, we are biased and we need to be careful, but we always think that we're biased in the right way. We think we've got the higher moral ground. Be ready to acknowledge when we're wrong. In a discussion, if you say, okay, I misunderstood you, or okay, I see it, I was wrong, I'm sorry. Okay, or if you do something that's impolite, be ready to say you're sorry. That's really important. We're going to have to grease the wheels. You must be careful. Each one needs to take that personal responsibility. Work at looking for the common ground. In the book of James, he says it very well. And I think it helps us see that meekness isn't weakness, that humility is not being soft. But in a few verses in chapter 3, it says this: but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The Bible has a lot to say about being a peacemaker. Now, I mentioned Moses, and I mentioned, I pronounce it Mordecai, I mentioned those two figures. Were they the last figures that the Lord could use? No, I like to think that you are the Moses and the Mordecai of this day, of this era. You are the ones that are training the next generation. And I have complete confidence that you will rise to the challenge. That is why you're here, to learn more about how to do, and that you will rise to the challenge, and the school will benefit, and it will have effects far beyond your own lifetime, because the Lord is blessing it. May the Lord bless you in your continued work, your continued interest, and thank you.